1 John chapter 2, starting at the first verse. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you. Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Peter. So if you were here last week, you'll remember that I said we are now in the season of Epiphany. An Epiphany is a moment of revelation or manifestation of God's glory. And we can all have an Epiphany at any moment in our lives. If you think back, you might be able to recall special times when God seemed especially real to you, or some new aspect about God's character or his nature or his love for you suddenly became clear. So Epiphany is about signs of God's glory that help those of us who are disciples to believe in Jesus. And I often challenge people during Epiphany to look out for those signs and to tell each other when you find them. So maybe I could do that for you this week. If in this coming week you see anything that speaks of God's glory, would you come back next Thursday and tell us? That would be wonderful. Last week we began looking at 1 John, which talks a lot about God's glory, so it seemed appropriate to read it in Epiphany. John was the leader of a group of house churches that met in and around Ephesus, and it seems that the churches had recently gone through a crisis, which motivated John to write to them. A group of people have broken off from these churches and no longer acknowledge Jesus as Messiah and the Son of God. 1 John is a sort of poetic sermon, reminding his readers of what they already believe and encouraging them to stay true to their faith despite opposition. And it's written in an ancient rhetorical technique called amplification. And John cycles through just a few key ideas like light and love and truth, each time looking at them from a slightly different angle. And the repetition builds up the impact. In this series, we're going to look at the first half of the book, all circling around the idea of light, that God is light. and in him there is no darkness at all. One of the things that John wants to get across is how to spot people who aren't genuine believers. How can you tell if someone has been led astray by these wacky Greek philosophical ideas? Well, it's all about walking in the light. And what does that mean? It means obeying Jesus' teachings. Which of his teachings? Well, John reminds his readers in this passage of Jesus' old/new command, love one another. Remember, in his teaching to the disciples recorded in John's Gospel, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." And doing this is walking in the light. Now, if God's light is shining in the world through Jesus, that means that the world's darkness is passing away. And that means that God's children have already victory over the sin and the evil in the world. And we see this at the beginning and the end of our passage today. It begins with the same thought that chapter 1 left off with. If we sin, it's okay, because God has provided an atoning sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ, the one and only truly righteous one. He has died, and that is a propitiation, that fancy word that we use later in the communion service, which means that the punishment that should have been ours has fallen on him. And we don't have to bear it. And then at the end of the passage, John addresses all the age groups, children, fathers, young men, and tells them, you've been forgiven. You know God. You've overcome the evil one. The word of God lives in you. So what about someone who claims to be in the light but is really still in the darkness? Well, in the middle of the passage, John tells us that that's someone who doesn't really love their brothers and sisters, but inwardly hates them. They're blinded. They can't see the truth. They stumble around in the dark. Don't take them seriously in their thrashing around. They try out all sorts of fancy ideas, thinking that somewhere, something is going to save them, but all the while forgetting to look at the God who truly saves. Don't listen to them, says John. And then finally, let me return to Jesus' new command, love one another. As I said last week, all the teaching in this letter seems to come directly from Jesus' long discourse in the upper room to his disciples, recorded in John's Gospel, chapters 13 through to 17. And in that section, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It is said that when John was a very old man visiting his churches, all the Christians would eagerly gather to hear the words of the last surviving disciple who knew Jesus personally. What words of wisdom would he have for them? So imagine them all sitting in a circle around him. A hush falls, and they wait expectantly for him to open his mouth. "Little children, love one another." "Well, yes, John, but surely there's more you could say to us. Surely you could answer our questions, solve our differences, show us how to overcome our fears and those who oppose us. Please, John, share your experience on how to deal with the hardships we face." Little children, love one another. After 70-odd years of serving Jesus, praying, meditating, writing, teaching, and preaching, John has realized that it all comes down to this: love one another.